All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.
Hello there, All the Ragers. Welcome again to another show. And again, we are going to talk with and debate with the show's very good friend, Jamie Woodcock. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good. Always a pleasure to come on and talk, John.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. I would say that you obviously have now earned the gold coin for the most amount of visits to the show. But as good committed Marxists, we don't care about gold. So moving on. Maybe Bitcoin, actually. Maybe I'll throw you one of those.
Yeah, I'll take it in crypto, John. That would be lovely.
Literally, the pennies in my pocket are worth more. Okay, so the major issue we wanted to talk about this time round was both myself and Jamie have been, you know, noting what goes on in the news, as we always do. And a few weeks back, probably a month or so now, there was a story that hit the headlines internationally in regards Facebook and Australia. Now, the story has a few ins and outs, and I recommend that you check it out in detail. There's a lot of stuff out there to read up about it. Don't just you know, rest on what I say. But the basic breakdown of it was this. Australian news sites were, in many cases, dropped from Facebook or from access via Facebook. And this was because of a ruling that had gone through the Australian government system, which said that Facebook should now actually pay for the content that they get from these sites. So if they're carrying stuff that is posted on a news site, they need to front some money for it. They need to pay that company. They responded to this, as these things normally do, by dropping all access to these sites. And it hit a major point of contention. There were people asking questions within the Australian Parliament about what's going on here. Is this a sign of a company overriding democracy, etc., etc.? A serious undemocratic act of censorship, or just one website having a strop? Well, we are going to discuss that this evening. And I will open with a couple of points that I've just noted, and I'll throw these into the discussion. So one way or another, whatever's going on here, to me, this appears to be yet another question of power, and in particular, another question of power which relates to corporations and how much control they have because of how much power they have. So what it shows us is something that has been bubbling under for some time. While many have brought up the subject of democracy and tech companies, it has so far never gone this mainstream. It's the kind of thing we talk about on shows like this all the time, but now that it's actually on the floor of government institutions in a very large country, then it's obviously got much more mainstream content. Now, it is unavoidable that we must address how much power the big tech companies have, where they can directly attack democratic rights of an independent nation state, or whether or not they can decide how you get to view something and where. If one country did this kind of thing to another, it would be considered, perhaps at a very low level, but a kind of act of warfare. It would certainly be something that I think would cause quite a lot of contention and perhaps normally involve a diplomat or two. You know, they'd be discussing what was going on and why are you shutting us down and why are you not paying for this, that, the other, whatever else. Big tech companies like Facebook and Google are not countries, yet they do have power over all of them, far above and beyond anything that can be controlled with present democratic means. Along with the likes of Amazon, they have stepped out of any world that we can understand in relation to democratic accountability or even earnings. If this is something you agree with, fair enough, or perhaps it's all a little bit overblown. Well, one argument I've heard is that they are not actually blocking the news websites per se, but they're just blocking them being reached via Facebook. So you can actually just go straight to the site and look them up there, which is a very good point. I mean, you can access these websites. No one's stopping you. The fact that you can't do it when you happen to be on Facebook is kind of not really that big a deal. If Facebook wants to carry a specific news site or they don't, it's up to them. But the real question, as far as I'm concerned, is how much power does Facebook have? If they refuse to pay what an elected national government say they should, or if they fall out with a specific news agency or site and they stop carrying their media, how does this look? know, what real effect would it have on the site? If, for instance, let's just arguably say MSN News, if they decided that Facebook in Australia was not going to carry MSN News because they didn't want to pay for their content, how would that look? It would probably hit the headlines. People would say Facebook slams MSN News or tries to shut them down, whether that's true or not. You know, it's a bit overblown. Anyway, so before we go on, it does appear that they've actually struck some kind of deal now between Facebook and the Australian government. However, in a story that was published on the day we're recording this, which is the 10th of March, about 2 hours ago, The Guardian have reported 2 weeks after Facebook struck a deal with the Australian government to pay publishers for displaying their news content, the social network has failed to sign a single media or big media player, sparking fears of a second news feed ban. So, Jamie, what do you make of all of this?
So, I think there's a number of things that are kind of worth drawing out of this, right? I mean, I think the first thing is, I think it shines a light on like how important platforms like Facebook are for many people in how they access the news or what kind of things that they that ends up in front of them, right? It's like, you know, the comment you said earlier, you know, if you're banned from Facebook, you can be found another way. Theoretically, that's true. But for a lot of people, you know, Facebook is how people access news or find things out. So, you know, I think what this does really is it shines a light on how much influence these platforms have. And I think it's news websites this time, but what it worries me more is like how many other things has Facebook prevented people from accessing or push down the news feeds or whatever. So I think it's good. It's like starts a debate about the influence of these platforms, right?
And in a second or two, we'll actually come on to something which I think is far more important, that Facebook have effectively prevented from being accessed, even when they actually have their own Facebook pages. So yeah, I mean, coming back on part of your point there, Facebook has taken a major role in people's lives. As you say, it's how they access things, it's how they things, it's how they find out about news, it's how they find out about what's going on in the world via links that are there. Now, yes, of course, one can go to any given search engine and go straight to those sites. But what is it saying when you can't do it via there? Knowing that effectively speaking, you are kind of shutting down, are going to shut down a degree of traffic for people who are simply not going to bother. Now, again, the issue, if people can't be bothered to go there, is that not their issue? Yeah, fine. But if it's not being promoted or it is being promoted via a corporation as huge and as kind of entwined within people's everyday lives as Facebook, this will have a serious effect. So I can see where the argument is. I mean, one viewpoint, again, published in The Guardian at the time that it happened, is a claim that Facebook was trying to bully democracy in Australia. Again, is this what we're talking about? Is this threatening to bring an entire country to its knees? Was one. I mean, that seems a little bit far-fetched to me, but I can see where they're coming from.
I don't know, right? I mean, I'm quite sympathetic to the argument that if you think about, like, Facebook's really, really important for elections, right? Yeah. And for promoting candidates and for information and misinformation around elections. Is this quite a brave thing for a politician to call out Facebook and to say, you need to behave in this way or you need to behave in that way? Because, you know, I mean, the last British election, like the role of advertising on Facebook and targeting people with election messages and so on, like you can see a lot of politicians might just say, we know this is bad, but like we use it for our elections and we don't want to get on the wrong side of them. So I can, you know, I think that's what's quite good about this coming to a clash. Because yeah. I think for a long time, these companies have escaped any regulation, right? They're like, no, we're not responsible for like a cesspit of horrible right-wing views that get spread around our platform. Like, we're just a platform.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that they're being, I mean, they're not being held accountable more widely, but like that there are discussions about holding them accountable.
Yeah, so one quote here that jumped out is Julian Knight, chair of the British Parliament's Digital Culture, Media and Sports Committee, said, quote, this action, this bully boy action that they've undertaken in Australia will, I think, ignite a desire to go further among legislators around the world, which is an interesting comment from a Tory, that the battle was now a real test case for such tech giants to be regulated and asked to pay for content. So yeah, this is the argument about whether they can actually override regulation, something that is applied to them by any democratically elected government in any nation state, and they can just basically say, no, we're not doing that. We don't like it. In fact, bollocks to the lot of you, we'll just reject your site. And again, yeah, this is something that I think maybe we're generally on the left, we're a little bit wary of saying because we're worried about the fact that it might make us look unpopular, never mind whether it's true or not. But people's minds are very easily manipulated. That's not really something that's deeply arguable for anyone who's looked at studies on things like this. People are easily manipulatable. We can end up having, it can happen to all of us, with someone like myself, and you're probably the same, that couldn't care less about the royal family, can end up having discussions about them at work, which I have done over the last 2 days. My point has normally been, abolish the lot of them, shut up, why are you talking to me? But nevertheless, those discussions have taken place. And it's because they are, via the main media conglomerates and media mechanisms, they are in everybody's mind. And they brought up, in some cases, they brought up other issues. But I think that, the argument is that absolutely you're right. What was happening during this period of time, like when we had the last general election in this country, and they were posting just loads of bullshit, loads of stories that simply weren't true, which they'd made up, designed to attack the person and the party that they didn't like. And people end up quoting those things at you. So my issue on that front, whenever anyone asks me about it, is like, are you saying I'm stupid or whatever because of this? And I say, well, why are you quoting something I know to be a complete line of bullshit at me? If you're not stupid, what are you? So I don't know if there's any point to make beyond that, but you're right. These companies are far more within our everyday lives, perhaps even quite insidiously, it is simply a case of whether you're carrying a news site or not. That's just my opinion on it. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think importantly, what Facebook cares about is not whether the information is true, mm-hmm. not whether the information is left-wing or right-wing or progressive or reactionary. What they care about is, does that get a reaction from people? Does it get shared? Does it keep people on the platform? I think sometimes there's this like liberally argument of like, everyone should have a say on the platform, or like it's up to the platform to decide that right-wing views shouldn't be there. Or, there are these kind of arguments about they have a responsibility to be like an arbiter of truth or something. Whereas ultimately these are companies that want to convince you to stay on the platform so they can shill advertising. And, in a sense, that's where like a lot of the problems with these platforms come from, right? It's like they've created these machines of disinformation. Mm. Which are used in elections, that are used like in other ways because it was profitable for them, not because they set out to like create a machine of like influencing elections. And I think that's where like regulation is important, right? We say actually platforms like Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, if you organize these things for profit, you end up with really, really bad platforms. So I think there's something to be made about like a bigger argument about this stuff of like, if you make news profit driven, you end up with stuff like this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another issue to come up with this is ideological, because these company like Facebook or Amazon or any of those others, yeah, obviously they don't want to be controlled. Obviously they don't want to have to pay more tax or anything else, but it's a deep ideological commitment within them to reject any kind of regulation. Even in the cases where, as you say, they don't really care about their content, that they're undermining democracy in various countries, their attitude tends to be, well, even if we're going to a world of complete chaos and disaster, so long as we're the platform that people are using. I mean, that is the kind of almost a weird, perhaps it's a state of, modern late period capitalism, that they are almost have their own built-in death drive. That even if we end up destroying everything around us, as long as we are the platform that is used. Perhaps I'm going a little over the top there, but it does seem to me like, especially with their really quite wacky founder, who's a man I've never quite got my head around. I mean, I don't think he's actually quite as dangerous as Elon Musk, but the two of them are good examples of rampant egos that refuse any kind of control self-control. You know, they simply want to be the biggest and the loudest and the widest. And it's something that, again, this story at its heart, I think, does actually push us to face up to and discuss, even if we don't necessarily get anywhere based on that.
No, definitely. And I think, you know, the reality is that these are platforms driven by the fact that they're massive multinational organizations with shareholders and stock prices and people they want to satisfy. It's like they don't care about whether your friend is getting accurate news.
Yeah.
You know, all they care about is making money. And if that trashes a country along the way, like, at least the shareholders are happy, right?
Yeah, they don't even care if, so you're, you know, you might have a friend who's in a degree of mental distress. He or she might have just lost their job. We know how this goes. We know how people get recruited to extremist ideologies and extremist organizations. And social media has, since pretty much its birth, been a central role to doing that within the modern world. So you've got your friend, he's not doing too well, he's down on his luck, he's starting to rant and rave about the injustices of the world, except he isn't pointing his finger at those who are causing the injustice, he's pointing his finger at people who are even weaker and more vulnerable than him. Before you know it, he's signing up with some nationalist psycho group, and he's doing it via Facebook, because, like you say, they don't give two shits about the content, so long as he's on Facebook.
Yeah, and, you know, we've discussed this on other shows, right? Like,
yeah,
the far right has been able to organize really successfully on lots of these platforms because, you know, they've put the time into it. They've found ways that those messages spread well on social media. It doesn't mean that Facebook, they like those groups being on Facebook because they keep people on. You know, it works within the kind of scheme of keeping users on and keeping them engaged. They don't mind what you're talking about to some extent.
Yeah, they bring the bodies
threatening,
in.
Right?
Yeah. They bring the bodies in, and occasionally they cause a bit of a furore that gets debated in other media, and people go, this happened on Facebook. And they're like, yeah, so long as you're mentioning Facebook, fine with us. Sorry, I interrupted you halfway through that.
No. I mean, I think there is a limit to what these platforms want you to discuss, right? And I think there are red lines of like, but those red lines, they're set by the interests of the platform.
Completely. Yeah.
You know.
That's just opens up something else there, mate, actually. That's a really good example, because at the moment there's lots of campaigns from Palestine support groups who are noting that Facebook is shutting them down if the word Zionist appears anywhere. So you can't even discuss Zionism on Facebook.
Yeah, so much for it being a platform where you can, you know, you can discuss whatever you want, right? So there are clearly limits, you know. And I think, you know, it's easier if you want to make money through the platform, or if you just want to, you know, you want to do things that are not threatening the interests of people who are already in power, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think the Australia example has a few other things that have come up. It's not just news press that is something that's being excluded. And I think, you know, the reality is, like, if you want to start a Facebook group to like organize cleaners at Facebook, they're not going to give you a free pass to do that, right? And I think what's interesting about this stuff is it shows that they can moderate it if they want to.
Mm.
You know, they can say, no, you can't discuss solidarity with Palestinian people, or you can't do this or that. But yet they don't want to say you can't interrupt in the democratic process of elections, right?
Yeah. We couldn't possibly do that, especially when we're generating a lot of content that's kicking the shit out of the side that would tax the crap out of us if they ever got into power. Yeah. Speaking of other sites, by the way, I mentioned to you this just before we went on air. I got quite a lot of information coming at me from some Australian, among other things, I'm signed onto a few Australian union email lists. And many of the union sites out there were also pointing out that their sites were being dropped, because there's a corporation like Facebook's never going to miss an opportunity to kick a trade union. So what this meant was these are sites that have Facebook pages, but people were prevented from joining by those Facebook pages because they ended up dropping them. Now, as we all know, it's not the first time anti-union activity has been taking place involving Facebook. And they have also empowered anti-union corporations with tools to de-unionize and undermine workers' rights. Employers can blacklist terms like unionize from their Facebook pages, similar to the Zionism example that we just talked about. For me, I think the issue is not necessarily one about does Facebook carry News Site 1, News Site 2, does it matter? It's more a question of the reach, the power, the strength that they have. Whether or not you choose to, I mean, I'm not on Facebook, right? But whether or not you choose to go there or not, they do have control over how people can access these things, how they flow, how the algorithms work, and how an already pretty tawdry media will react to whether or not a site is shut down. I mean, using a British example, if newspaper sites like any of the Murdoch Press or the Telegraph or the Mail, if the Guardian got dropped off of Facebook, they'd love it. And you've got to ask yourself, why? Why would they love it? What are they getting from this? So yeah, I suppose that's kind of my point there. You know, the real issue here is about freedom to discuss what's going on in the world and freedom to access a trade union, for God's sake, you know, or whether or not your page gets blacklisted for using the word unionize.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this cuts through some of the ideology around platforms, right? You know, platforms present themselves as these like nice neutral space where you can share whatever you want and where you can find out what your friends want to share. And, you know, they kind of present this image of like, you know, this is a liberal space for discussion. And I think, you know, the reality is it's a liberal space for discussion unless you want to say people should join a union or, you know, we should stand up for oppressed people or whatever it is. And so I think that's what I quite like about the Australia example, right, is just shining a light on this stuff to be like, this isn't a neutral space. You know, exactly. This is a capitalist-owned media platform that is pumping out garbage like 99.9% of the time, right? And, you know, we've discussed this on a couple of shows of like, what do you do if you think that if you want to talk about radical ideas or you want to have spaces to do these things, is we can try and carve some of those out on platforms, but it's hostile terrain. This isn't somewhere that's friendly to radical ideas, right? And I think sometimes people, you know, look at these things and go, well, anyone can sign up. It must be like an arena of freer debate, right?
Yeah, and that's entirely the point here is, you know, it's a question of whether you really have the free expression that you're supposed to have within this situation, or if you're just dealing with a company that, as you pointed out, they're only interested in creaming profit and getting the numbers. And what can they get out of it? They have nothing to say to the wider, real, material lives of any of us. And yet so many people have spent time with them or other social media sites. Also, I think they know very, very well, you know, the idea of, well, you know, you have the other option to do your own thing. I think they know very well how hard it would be to even set up a social media site. I don't see how, as we know and as we've discussed on this show many times, social media is a hugely important tool for involving with people, for recruiting people, etc. We even talked about it a few weeks back when I interviewed Marijam, and we were speaking about gaming sites, things like Twitch TV, all that sort of stuff. Now, you literally can go on and watch people play games while there's somebody in the background trying to convince you of their political view. You can do that. So the left absolutely need to be within these places. We need to be represented. But the idea of setting something up from the ground up and doing it that way is clearly, everyone knows that would be damn near impossible as far as actually you'd have to set it up, you'd have to have the time and the space and the effort, you'd have to find some way to bring people to it. And while there are plenty of small scale examples of media solely for these kind of purposes, if you look at something like Means TV in America, which is great, but it's not huge and it's never likely to be. It's always going to be smaller in comparison to this. So the arguments I've often seen in regards, you know, Facebook and Amazon and the like of breaking them up because they're too monopolistic, I think that's actually unavoidable now. I think we simply can't go. I mean, I on a personal level, I boycott Amazon because I don't like them. But at the same time, their workers haven't organized and asked me to do a boycott yet. And for some people, that's the main sticking point for it. And I completely understand that. It makes sense. The fact is, they're going to be there whether we like it or not. Facebook are going to be there whether we like it or not. So it's a question of us taking a better level of control. If you want this to have any meaning in a democratic sense, in any kind of democratic land, I think would be the best way I'd describe that.
I think that's a very good way to put it, right? I mean, I think the solution to this stuff is obviously like we should try and regulate more. We should try and hold these things accountable, et cetera, et cetera. But like ultimately, we're not going to have open, free, fair media unless it's under genuine democratic control. And we're probably going to have to bring the rest of society under general democratic control to get that, right? Like, you know, there's a bigger project, and I guess thinking about these platforms is part of thinking about how that connects to a bigger political project, isn't it?
Completely. It's always about that bigger project. And again, you know, if we don't think about it, the other side most certainly do. And this is a great example. You know, there looks like there's a threat in America from some guy named Bernie Sanders. Looks like there's a threat from some bloke in Britain named Jeremy Corbyn. You know, how much negative content can we possibly carry about these people, or just allow it to spread? And the fact that it's full of, never mind, it's the fact that you don't. I mean, before anyone starts chirping about this, it's not the fact that whether people like or dislike those individuals or anyone else, you can dislike whoever you like, but it's the stories that are obviously false. It's stories about climate change not being real. It's stories about COVID-19 being some kind of, you know, made up thing. That's where the stuff that can be damaging, especially when it has the reach that you log onto your Facebook page and suddenly it's popping up everywhere, telling you that this is a hoax or this person did something they didn't do. There's a funny attitude I find within many cultures, including this one, between lying and freedom of expression. While somebody might have the right to lie, what they don't do is have the right to push that lie to the point of influencing and infecting many, many other things without any comeback on them. That's the main issue to me, and always has been. It's a question of, you know, actions have consequences. And what I see too often with the likes of Facebook or similar ones is their actions never come back to them in the shape of consequences. They can effectively do what they want. And I think even when a very conservative groups like Scott Morrison's government in Australia, like the government here in Britain, who are saying this is bully boy tactics, this is out of line, we need a better level of regulation. You've got to look at that and go, fucking hell, really? You're saying that? There's a lot to be said within that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, if some of these conservative governments are calling for it, like, things must have gotten so bad for them to get to the stage, you know, where they're going to stick their necks out and say it. So I think, you know, I think it's part of a broader debate. And I think this is like, it's a good episode for illustrating some of that, right? I just think we need to make those connections. You know, it's not just about Australia, and it's not just about news being pushed off the platform, you know?
Completely. Yeah, we carry on discussing these things. We carry on pushing for them to have more democratic control, and hopefully one day we'll get some actual ownership over our own supposed democratic process, or even a democratic process in the first place. In the meantime, have you got anything in closing, mate, or are you good?
No, I think we've covered everything. I think that was great.
Excellent, yeah. All right, well, thank you again, as ever, for being on the show. It's always good to hear you. And
A pleasure.
Wonder what we'll talk about next.
Well, who knows what weird things will happen in the world, right?
Indeed. At least we have an outlet. Yeah.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.tracksfm.org.